awesome to be here this morning. Really awesome because for the first time in 11 years, we've been missionaries 11 years in Mexico, and for the first time we got to bring somebody back with us, and it's super exciting. Some of you got to hear Joaquin's little bit of his testimony, the way that that God actually did all of the, helped him get through the paperwork and stuff. It's not easy. We have other friends. You can turn this down just a little bit. I think I'm booming for this thing. We've had other friends that have tried to get visas and have not been able to. In fact, Lee knows that. We've been trying to bring pastors over before and not been able to. But when God said yes, it's a done deal. But we did everything, all the paperwork, all the things that they asked for. The people, they went and tried to get some help. They said, you're going to have to lie because there's no way you're getting it with your situation. So put this and that. They said, we're not lying. We're going to write it out just the way it is. Maybe cry this morning, and I'll cry again because it's the way God is so faithful. I'm going to just do it in a nutshell with this. So, you know, they said no. They said, well, you're going to need luck then. Maybe you'll have some luck. We don't have luck. We have a big God. They went in. The lady gave three questions. They answered all three questions. Honestly, what do you do? Where do you work? ¿Qué eran las tres preguntas? ¿En qué trabajas? ¿Qué tiempo? Okay, so what do you work in? How much money do you make? And how long are you in the ministry? Three questions. They had a stack of papers this big. They were missing, you know, some paperwork. Fear started setting in, but they said, no, this is God's. And they said, God sent an angel before me. He said that the lady, when they went in, looked, had the face of an angel. These people that work in these offices don't normally look like that. So it was like, you know, they saw an angel. Exuberant, happy, three questions, you guys are approved. Never even looked at all the paperwork that they had. Went back and gave testimony to the lady, and she said, wow, you guys had a lot of luck. So we don't have a lot of luck, we have a big God. And I wanted to take a few minutes and just let Joaquin share. You saw the pictures you saw up there, you saw quite a few of them had Joaquin and his family in them, right? You guys recognize that from the video? And I just wanted him to share a little bit about this morning, about his vision. And this is what we do. God has called us to partner with pastors, raise up pastors, and in different areas in Mexico. He's one of eight different missionary pastors that we're supporting, working with in Mexico. And I want him to share a little bit about the vision. He's actually back in one of the churches we go to. At the end of this service, I'd like to pray for him as we go to these churches, because you guys are the churches that support us. There are four in this northern area. We're praying and asking you to help commission him for that work I'll share a little bit about what's going on with that ministry, but as we are spending less time in Las Glorias, he's taking over the church there for us. So we'd like you to help us pray in commissioning him, as you guys are partnering with us in that mission. Joaquin, dinos un poco de su visión y lo que Dios pues trajo a qué propósito pues trajo a Sinaloa y qué es el trabajo que Dios le ha dado.
So
I just asked him real quick. Sorry, I'm sorry. I asked him to tell us about his ministry, his vision, why God brought him to where he's at right now. The ones that weren't in the morning in the Sunday school. My brother here shared just a little bit of what we were talking about.
Quiero aclarar que este próximo noviembre 11.
I want to tell you that we have 21 years in November, and God, it was not here. Okay. So 21 years that I have the Lord, and 16 years married to my wife. I want to give thanks to God for that. No, they didn't seem to
identify.
I mean, you can't tell you because sometimes I have a beard, sometimes I'm skinnier, sometimes I go through a lot of different stages. A lot of the vision that God has given us in working in Mexico. In 7 years ago, when we started working with Doug in Las Glorias, it shows in these pictures.
Servirle a través de una
God called us to serve Him using a vision, using sports to reach young people. So we give training to kids, to young people, youth, to women. And using baseball and softball, we teach them about not only the sport, but we teach about God's love, we teach them the Word of God. And we invite them to give their hearts to God through that ministry. And asking God to transform their lives.
Esto es lo que estamos haciendo hasta el momento. Estamos predicando la palabra en diferentes misiones.
That's what we're doing. We're also we have different missions around the area that we're preaching the word.
Los lugares que están ahí, las fotos, la pitaya, las flores.
Different places that you saw pictures of there, and the one called La Pitaya, in Las Glorias, and Mocorillo. There's a lot of other villages around there as well.
Y estamos queriendo llegar a otros lugares en el país.
And we're also hoping to reach other areas in the country as well. In a little bit, Doug's going to put a map up and we'll show you. North of where we are in Sinaloa, in a state called Sonora. We've been going on missions to a place called Basiloa. That's where my daughter and my son-in-law are planning on living someday. In fact, in December, we're going to be starting breaking ground on a home for them and a meeting place in that area.
Y pues estamos tratando de enseñar a nuestros hijos y a nuestra congregación.
We're trying to teach our children and also the congregation.
Con nuestro ejemplo, pues, de ir y predicar la palabra.
With our example of going and preaching the word wherever we go.
Sin importar cómo, cuándo y dónde lo haces.
Without worrying about how we're going to be able to do it or when we're going to do it.
Pero sí con el corazón de Dios.
¿De qué?
Sí con el corazón.
But with God's heart.
Entonces, pues decidimos dar escuela en casa a nuestros hijos.
So we recently, when we made a decision to teach our children in house, do homeschool.
Kevin tiene 14 años.
My son is 14 years old.
Su hermana Amy tiene 10.
That's her. His sister is 10,
y,
Amy.
Y la más pequeña, Londra,
and the youngest sister is 8 years old. Her name is Alondra.
Ellos son nuestros principales discípulos, como son los hijos de mi hermano Douglas.
They were our first disciples. Doug showed us that with his kids. They're his principal disciples.
Y ahorita platicamos con los hermanos aquí en la iglesia.
And we've talked to some other brothers here in the church.
¿Cuál es el otro hermano? ¿Quién es?
Kent and his wife. You guys may not know him. I think this is their first time here today, but Joaquin talked to them. And we talked to them, and just talking about how our example, our desire to teach our kids in God's word and bring them up in His kingdom. And helping them in every area of their life with that word. And just asking them about their lives, being holding them accountable to where they are, what they do. And we just found a really a niche and a way to minister in the community that we're at, going with our family within the community that way.
Ahora yo estoy pasando la responsabilidad del ministerio de jóvenes.
Now I'm actually getting ready to give the youth ministry over to another
person,
to be able to receive the responsibility of pastor in the church right now. And my vision as a pastor is like the word teaches us. To follow Christ's example. And he said, a good pastor gives his life for his sheep. And I'm called, and my vision is to give my life for my sheep, for my congregation. That's what I wanted to share with you. Una cosa que pueden estar orando por ti específicamente. One thing that we can be praying for you.
Pues,
that they can be praying for you.
Por mucha fortaleza.
For strength.
Y la bendición de Dios en nuestras vidas.
And the blessing of God in our lives.
Porque sabemos que si él no hace la obra,
because we know that if God doesn't do the work,
nosotros no somos nada.
We're nada. We're not yeah. Okay. Un versículo que le puede animar. A ver, es para ir a ver si mira, si puede ser lo mío de la mano, si tienes otro que le ha animado, que le puede dejar con él.
Hay un verso que está en mi mente, en mi corazón, y lo compartí hoy de la mañana.
There's a verse that's in my heart, in my life, and I shared it in the morning.
Y he estado compartiendo con la iglesia acerca de, de estos temas.
And I was sharing with the church, it's 1 Corinthians 13, no? The last verse in chapter 13. I was sharing it also with some young people during the week.
Y quiero pedirte que lo leas.
Okay.
No me gusta la versión San Joaquín. San Joaquín.
You don't like the version of San Joaquin. You want somebody want to read that for me? 1 Corinthians 13. Anybody want to read that out loud? Or should I read it?
13.
Okay.
Lo voy a leer en inglés porque sé que hay personas que entienden inglés.
You're
going to
read it in English?
Oh, perdón.
Yeah, so we're missionaries in Mexico, been there 11 years. We're actually from Roseburg, Oregon, not too far down the coast. I'll talk about this map a little bit. God called us 11 years ago to Mexico. And so we went down there, we didn't know what to expect. And now 11 years later, it's been just amazing watching what God is doing. And those of you who follow us know what we're talking about. First, you know, amazing things. We got to bring up 6 kids and an amazing life. They love the Lord. And, you know, most of them are serving Him. They all are just kids that love God. What more can you ask for, right? I mean, that's what we wanted for our kids. And not only that, but He did so much more than that. I wrote a sermon this morning, and it's called Going Deep. And if you want to have a text for that, it's Matthew 14. We're going to read a small section of Matthew. But in that, I also want to share a little bit about what's going on. We're going to talk about faith this morning. Let's just read that text. Matthew 14, verses 28 to 33. We'll pray. Y'all there? Some of you? Matthew 14, one of the easier books to find for a book in the gospel. I'm going to go ahead and read that. It says, the Word of God says, and Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. When beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me! Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Amen. Let's pray. Truly you are the Son of God, Jesus. It is so awesome being able to participate, God, and see as we put our trust in you the way that you tame the wind. The way that beyond all circumstances, Lord, you answer prayers. Beyond all hope, you cause us to believe. And you show us time and time again that you're worthy to trust in. That your promises are true. That when we put our faith in you, God, we can believe you. And know that you will accomplish your will. And that if you call us to walk on water, Lord, we will walk on water. Jesus, speak through your word this morning. Help me to share about your heart and our heart for Mexico, what you're doing there, Lord. Holy Spirit, fill our lives this morning with your understanding, ability to look deep into your word, Lord, as we talk about going deep. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So many of us have a desire to do great things, right? And we see stories like this with Peter, and you go, I want to do that. I want to be the one that steps out of the boat. I want to be the one to make decisions, radical decisions for Christ. Does anybody in here want to do great things for God? I mean, it doesn't matter if you're 80 years old and say, I'm going to do this for the Lord. It could be that just trusting with more of his finances. It could be giving him more of your time. It could be sharing your faith. It could be taking a trip to Peru or Haiti or Mexico. Pray for Haiti, by the way. Man, they're going through some hard stuff. But God is calling all of us, and I think we have it. He put in all of us a desire to do something, right? But we need something in order to do that. It's called faith. And so that's what I want to talk about as I share about Mexico. And I share about our hearts and give you a glimpse into what our life is like. Many people think that missionaries, you know, they see us and like, oh, they've got faith. And they don't doubt. I think we think a lot of times that missionaries and people who make radical decisions and give everything, you know, to the Lord. Don't go through moments of doubt, and don't go through trials where their faith is tested, and get scared when the storms come. Newsflash. Not true. We get scared. We have moments where we're like, is this what we're supposed to do? About a little over, probably about a year and a half ago, at the beginning of the last year, so end times flying by. We're almost at the end of this year. So at the beginning, towards the beginning of the last year, as we prayed about ministry, and God has been so faithful to us and just continues every time he says, gives us a job to do, he always provides. And we can't take any credit. He's done the whole thing. But through a series, through his word and through people and through him speaking into our lives, he told us, Doug, I want you to raise up 12 missions, distinct missions in Mexico. And I'm like, what? How can we do that? We barely even have enough to take care of ourselves. And any of you who know about our mission and our ministry, we never go around campaigning for money, so we don't have like a, you know, we don't send out a lot of notices. Everything that we have, every church that God has put in our path as partners is because he did it. We didn't do anything. We've worked hard and we've been faithful to visit. We 2 years, right? How long were we here? But we've been faithful to communicate and to visit with people that God's given us, but we never did anything. And so we never did anything to create that or to bring in support for ourselves. God did it all. But he said 12 missions, 12 pastors, spread across Mexico. And I'm like, I think you mean like six, right? Or six, I can do that. Maybe five or six. That sounds like within my strength and my power, or within maybe what we could raise to be able to do that. And not only that, but he said, but in this year, he said, you're going to do that. And I'm like, no, Lord, I can't do it. I mean, God sometimes calls us to big things. And honestly, I'll tell you right now, we didn't do it in the year that he calls to do it. We have eight now. We count out one of the single missionaries, but we have seven couples and one single missionary that Flow International is supporting financially, is supporting in training, is supporting spiritually, providing a authority over them and guidance in their lives. I didn't make the goal. Why? Because I didn't believe. Because I didn't trust God. I didn't like just step out, you know, all right, let's just do it, because it was too big for me. But I still have faith, because God is the God of second chances, right? And so he's still working with us. And I believe that's going to get to 12. It might even get to 24. He knows what we can work in. Yeah. And I know that his grace is sufficient and that he's going to do it. So I put this map up here because I want to show you where we're working right now. And Joaquin just shared, this is where we started with our mission. And around this area, we have, really, we have about five or six things in the work, mission. Some of them are actually already church plans. Zapitaya is already a church plan. Las Flores is a church. But we have a mission, and like the mission that you guys have, rehabilitation center in Guasave. We have another ministry that we work with kids in a small town, much like what Joaquin does with another pastor and his wife named Tino and Elizabeth. But we have about five or six missions in this area. What's that? What's wrong with it? We have about five or six missions in this area. A little bit farther north, where Joaquin mentioned a little bit ago, this is where they're visiting. This is where my son-in-law and his wife are planning on starting a church and a base to minister to these mountains up here. You may have seen where Jesse backpacked up at Christmas time. That was with Fabian. They gave up Bibles. You can't get up there with cars. So they hike into houses. And Fabian's vision was to give a Bible to every single house up in that community. So they want to have a base here in Basigoa, which is where he was born. And they want to minister to all of these houses up in Chihuahua and in the foothills of Sonora, in the Sierras up there. So we have a mission plant there that is in the works, and Joaquin is visiting that. And so then Joaquin and Fabian and Sarah will be there in December. Then down a little bit farther down south, this is about a 6-hour, 7-hour ride from us, we have another mission, a church in Kimichi's Nayeri. That's where Pastor Narciso and his wife are. You draw a picture of them. And then recently, in the last 3 years, we started doing pastor training in this area down here where these two stars are, Patla Puebla and Tarimono, Guanajuato. This area is really interesting because in this area of Mexico, in central Mexico, there's an area, and it's not very big, about maybe like 300 mile diameter. It's called the dark part of Mexico, or the circle of silence. In that area, there's 2 million people that have never heard the gospel. And you might think, wow, how is that possible? Now, when we go to Patla, they speak a totally different language. They speak Totonaca, they also speak Spanish. But you go there, people walk around barefoot, they go to the mountains and carry the water on their heads. This area in the middle here isn't like that around Tarimono, the center of Mexico. There are some areas in the edges that are like that. But these are people that are in deep, deep idolatry. And, you know, here in the States, I know it's hard to picture because you say Catholic, but these are people who parade, you know, their idols on their heads, and they have statues, and they give money to them, and they have rituals, and it's nothing like Christianity. Like, if you ask them, when I meet a Catholic down there, I'll say, so you know Jesus. They don't know who Jesus is. They say, that's Chewy, right? It's their neighbor. They have no idea who Jesus is.
Yeah.
And so being able to hear the gospel for the first time in this area, so God has called us to open up a new mission here at the base. And again, we're doing pastor training in this area all around here, and in Nairobi too. But we're opening up a new base. And so we won't be as much time with us. We're still going to be down there, but we're going to be half the time here and half the time there, maybe even more time here. We're moving into a place where it's a town of 35,000 people and there's no Christian church. And so it's kind of like frontier, exciting stuff. But we need your prayers. And that's why we're going to be praying in a minute here as we end this. it's 12 already. As we end this time, we're going to pray for Joaquin as we commission him to take over that, because that's a big part of our ministry. So what does it mean to have faith? You know, for me, it meant trusting God to raise up 12 missionaries in a year. We got to 8. We're still working on it. We need his help. We need more faith. We need to trust him. We hear that a lot. You just got to have faith. People say that. But what does it mean to have faith? What does it mean to have faith? What does that look like with, you know, and what does it look like in this story so that we can see maybe through Peter's life? You heard that term, step out of faith. You ever wonder where that came from? Might have come from this story, right? Because it's kind of like step out, right, of the boat. Or maybe the term sink or swim. Might have come from this story, too. Although he didn't swim, he walked. But there's three different things, and I go through them quickly as I share a little bit about the ministry in Mexico and some of the things we're facing down there. Three things that I see in this short story, or this short excerpt from a story. Three things. One is step out. One. Number two is exercise it. And this is with, in order to have faith, we must step out, we must exercise it, and we must get close. Get close to who? To the wave tamer. Made that up. I'm sure you saw it somewhere on Facebook or something. As far as I'm concerned, I made it up. So the first thing that we see in the story is that faith asks us, or God asks us, in order to have faith, we must step out. We must step out. In Hebrews 11:1, as a definition of faith, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Being sure of what Christ says, and taking his promises and acting on them. That's what faith is. There's another story that's in the Bible that kind of, as I talk about going deep, I don't know if you remember the story in Luke chapter 5 where Jesus asked the disciples after they've been fishing all night to throw out their nets. Remember, he said, throw it out where? Out in the deep water, he said. And something really important that we see that Peter did, well, one is he stepped out, right? It says in verse 28, if it's you, command me to come into the water. And he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. Came to Jesus. So if we want to have faith, we need to get out of the boat. We need to walk towards Christ. And something that I see is really important here is we see that Peter does something really important here. He recognizes Christ's authority in his life. What does it say? It says, because you say so. It says, Lord, if it is you, command me, he says. In the other story that I talked about, that's what he says. He says, if it is you, because it's you that's saying it, I'll do it. We fished all night. I know there's no fish, but you know what? Because you're saying it, I'm going to trust you. Peter could have said, you know what? I know that you can't walk on water. But because it's you, if you command me, Lord, then I'll do it. And that's what we need to do. So I just ask you a question. When Christ asks me, or he asks you to cast your net, when he says 12 missionaries in 12 months, in 12 different places, am I willing to believe him in that? Am I willing to cast my net into deeper water like he did? And if you look at the boat, there weren't 12 disciples there asking Jesus to call them. There was only one. So not everybody's going to do it. But are you willing to call, to say, Lord, if you want me to do it, I will do it. A lot of times preaching on a faith, I'll tell people to be careful about that thing that you say, you know what, I would do anything for God except this. Because that's the one thing he'll usually ask you to do. Right? So people are like, yeah, that's so true. People with more experience than me know that. Second thing is that we need to exercise it. We need to exercise our faith. If God, if we're going to have faith like that, we need to exercise our faith. Faith at work, James 1. I'm going to read a couple of verses out of James 1. James 1, 5 and 6, 22 through 25, and also 2:17. I'm just going to read it through. But it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, then ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. With no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Sounds like a storm. But be doers of the word, in verse 22, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For anyone who is a hearer of the word and not a doer is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away at once and forgets what he was like. But the one who looks at the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. That's like that. You know, you need to lie on this application. No, I don't. I have a big God. I'm going to do it like this. Because God asked him to. And then verse 17 of chapter 2, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, or let's say action, is dead. In the new area we're in Darimoto, it's not, when I first moved to Sinaloa, in Las Glorias, Boca del Rio, it's a fishing village. And so what I needed to do is I needed to go out and fish with the guys. I needed to get to know these guys. And that's what I did. That's what we do when we go into community. We just begin to live among the people. David mentioned that this morning. That's what we do. And it's work. And so now in this new area we're in Darimoto, I look around and I said, what do these people do? Because they're kind of like, you know, they're not city people like you guys consider, but they're kind of like here, you know, I mean, they're country people, but they do different things. They don't live by, they're not fishermen. And I got to look around and I said, oh, wow, there's three gyms in this little community. No church, but there's three gyms. They realize they need to exercise physically, but not spiritually. And so I said, well, let's join a gym. And to join a gym, they were like $5 a month. It's like awesome, right? So they got all the weight equipment. And I'm like, you know, I'm in pretty good shape. My daughter and I went in. And Evie's like, she knows what she wants to work. She likes doing gymnastics and all these flips and things like that. And she goes, I want to work my legs. He's like, what do you want to work? And I'm like, I just want to be like, I want to stay the same as I am. I'm in pretty good shape, you know. Whatever, right? He's like, okay, let's put you on these machines, right? And so he gave me these little tiny weights, and meanwhile, there's like young ladies lifting twice as much as me, and I'm like, wow, this is hard, you know? But I'm in good shape. So like after like 2 days, I couldn't even move. I mean, like it was just like, oh my gosh, you know? Sometimes we think our faith is in good shape, but it's not. It's not, and when it's tested, when a storm comes, and there's some storms going on right now in some of your lives, and there's storms going on for all of us, oh my gosh. Look at what we're living in right now. But Jesus invites us to be exercised so that when it comes, we can keep our eyes on the Lord. We can at least get close enough to Him where He can grab us. Praise God for His mercy. So I'm just like, no, man, I can't. It's not working. I guess I'm not in as good a shape as I thought I was because I couldn't take my shirt off. I'm like, honey, I'll wear my shirt. I'm like, walk like this. And he's like, a couple days now, go away. I'm like, 10 days later, I still can't even move my arms. And it's just little ways. I wasn't in as good a shape as I thought I was. I'm like, I gotta quit. I can't do this. I can buy the way I was. I can't not live like this with all this pain. Just push through a little bit more. Just keep going. And I had my daughter there, so I just kept doing it. And eventually the pain went away. When our faith is not in shape, it can hurt when we begin to exercise it. So the first time, you know, you might go out of here today and go, all right, I am. And I know that God's been calling me to do that. That was a sign, that word. And so I'm going to take the step. And you know what it is in your life that God has asked you, because He's always asking a little bit more from us. Not because He needs us, more from us. Because He wants to see His children grow. He wants to see us happy. When we give everything to them, we're more happy. People used to say, well, I feel so sorry for you guys. They gave everything. They don't have water sometimes. They don't have electricity. And I'm like, I feel sorry for you guys. Because I've got like this deep peace and joy. And yeah, there's been times where we don't have water. And sometimes we've not had enough food. But there's always been enough. And in the times that we did, I mean, when I say food, I mean we didn't have steak. We had food. We wanted steak. But we had beans. But God knew what we needed at the time. I will share more of my testimony if I can. So, and we see in this story that even little muscles like mine, because when muscles, I know I had to do it on weak, really weak, and I found that out doing the exercises in my arm, but little muscles are better. You know, now I'm doing the things, it doesn't hurt anymore, and I'm still doing it. Little muscles are better than no muscles. And I see that a lot in God's word, because, you know, like Abraham, when in chapter 11 of Hebrews, by the way, I'm going to go just a couple minutes over it, not much, just a couple minutes is all. So he says, you know, Abraham, this great man of faith, and then you go back and look at the story of Abraham, and you're like, wow. So, I mean, he was kind of like, he did some awesome things, don't get me wrong, Abraham was an awesome man, but he had some areas in his life where he struggled with faith. I see men throughout the Bible and all of the stories that you know, like Peter here. I mean, a little later, he says, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. A little bit of faith, God can work with us. When we don't have any faith at all is when we can't do it, when we can't have anything. And I love that Peter gets close enough to Jesus for him to grab it. And I just ask you this morning, what kind of spiritual shape are you in? Kind of spiritual shape are you in? Do you feel like you've exercised those faith muscles and you're believing, you're receiving the blessing of God in that faith? I'm not talking about, you know, like He's going to give you a new car or something, so get all excited. That can happen, but He's faithful and He loves to bless His children. And when we show faith, He's there and He's there to rescue us. The third point, get close to the storm tamer. Peter came to Jesus. Said, read it again in verse 29. It says, so Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and he came to Jesus. That, you know, he could have just taken one step and said, nope, this isn't solid. This isn't working. You know, he got back in the boat. He wanted to be still close enough to grab on. But he didn't. It says he came to Jesus. Get close to Jesus. Peter recognized Jesus when he saw him and he went to him when he was called. That's important. Do you know Jesus? Do you know His word, when He calls you, when He speaks to you? You can say, yes, Master, call me Jesus. And when you hear His voice, in John 10, it says, my sheep know my voice. Do you know Jesus' voice? Peter did. Because it is you. And the other story, I'll do it, Lord. I'll throw my net out to the deeper water. Even the bravest of men, like Peter, because Peter was always bold, doing crazy stuff for Jesus, get scared in the moment when the storm comes. They can get scared. Peter did. He got his eyes off of Christ for a moment and onto the storm. I have a pastor, and you saw him up there. His name is Ricardo Christina. We have a pastor. God has a pastor, but a pastor we're working with that is now in that mission that we ran. I can't tell you a whole lot about the testimony, but it's a miracle the way God worked all that out. But I'll tell you a little bit. we've been praying for about 2 years for God to raise a mission up in this area. And about 6 months ago, about 8 months ago, we went down there. And we, was it eight, when were we down there last time? Not this one, but the one in October of last year? Man, a year ago. Told you, time to play. So a year ago, we were down there, and we were getting our eyes set in. We even found a place that we wanted to rent down there. And we're like, this is it. Let's just keep praying. And when we come back down in July, yeah, we're gonna go ahead, and we're going to move in, and we're going to get you guys set up here. And about halfway into that time, I got a call from Ricardo. And so this is one of the valiant missionary that's taught me a lot, like Joaquin. And he says, yeah, I said, so did you go down? Did you talk to Oscar about the house? He's like, yeah, that's no good. No good, Doug. And I'm like, well, what's no good? He's like, well, yeah, we're looking at it, and it's too far out. I'm like, what do you mean it's too far out? Well, yeah, the hospitals are like too far from there. We're just, you know, we're thinking maybe you and Rebecca could move into that place, and we're going to look for a place in closer to town. And besides, it's dangerous out there. You know, when you start saying, and I'm like, you know, this is contagious, right? When you're now having people, and I'm like, babe, it's dangerous. Like, we didn't know already Mexico's dangerous, right? Like, we've been there for 11 years. And he got scared. And when I said, you know, you rebuke that. We're not going to go on what we see. And, you know, of course, when somebody's in that situation, it's really hard to talk to them that way, you know? But he started getting scared, and people talking, you know, Desi's with us right now, and she's going to Mexico. I'm sure you've heard that you're going to die in Mexico, or I don't know. Oh, yeah, you know, you're like, you know, all your kids are going to die in Mexico. They told me 11 years ago, so, you know, if that's what you want, then go ahead. You know, that's what people tell you. Mm-hmm. And you can let those things get to you, the storms around you. But, and it started to affect me, and I just said, Rebecca, we're going to wait. And we started talking about that house. And I said, we're not going to talk, we're just going to keep praying for us, and I'm going to go down and see what's going on down in Ricardo. And I got down there, and he said, I just want to confess, Pastor, I was going through a time of struggle and doubt, but I'm ready now. That was when Jose came and was like, we're going to minister of it. And so they got strength again, and I think it was Jesus, you know, like it says in the story, immediately grabbing him. When he started to doubt, he grabbed him, pulled him back up. And yet, faith, but missionaries and people who have given everything go through moments of doubt too. But the thing is that Peter was close to Jesus. It says he came to Jesus. He recognized him. He could hear his voice. He got close to him. And I wrote down here, Peter's little faith got him close enough to Jesus where he grabbed him. I just like that because it says he immediately just like reached out and grabbed him. But if, you know, it wasn't like he got halfway or like said, oh, no, he pushed his way toward Jesus. Doesn't mean you're not going to get scared. So let's close. And I got a couple questions and one example of the fact that Jesus will grab you and he's always there. And I put a title on this last part, but I'll know why in a second. Jesus will protect you, no bull. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what. We were in Pala, which is that area that's the farthest south up to the right hand side there, Pala Puebla. And there, again, I told you the people there it's a different world. It's like, it feels like you're in the middle of National Geographic or something, you know. But we were walking down a trail and showed up during the time of graduation. And the graduation people there go from house to house and they eat all day. Like, I mean, in 20 different houses. You have that in your culture. Well, there they do. And their culture is about eating, and you will eat at every single house, and you walk out like this. And it's amazing. But we did that. We were walking with the youth, and all of a sudden, we were walking down this trail by the river. The youth started, I heard this kind of thing stirring, and we heard, get out of the way. And so we all started moving out of the way. And, you know, to me, I said, get out of the way. I'm like, way out of the way. You know, I jumped out of the way. And everybody started moving to the side of the path. Well, soon we see this big bull coming around the corner that the guy is holding with a horse, a little horse, and it's this. And the bull is just going. And any of you guys who are cowboys will probably know how a bull can pull a small horse around. And it's going. He's moving it from one pasture, I found later, to another one, and they're kind of like wild range cattle. But it's just like snorting and moving and running. Really, I don't know how fast, but fast. It was just running fast. And they're still yelling, we're like off the trail, we're all off the trail, but they're still yelling, that's not enough, get back off the trail, get away from that. And I look back and I see my wife and Kevin, who are students, and Jeremias, who's another missionary, he's the one that's going to be working with you, standing on the side of the trail, and apparently they're not enough because these people are panicking, like, get out of the way! And so here comes this thing, and apparently the path that this thing needs is probably like around, you know, yeah, like 20 feet of path, because he's like going back and forth trying to devour whatever is in his path. My wife is there. And so what I did, what any good husband would do, I prayed for her. I was too far away to help her. She quit. I'll have her to quit. So I see her look up, and she probably tell you better, look up, and here's his bowl. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, this is not good. And this thing is running full force. The guy on the horse reared up as quick as he could because it was obviously going to take them out that were on the side of the path. He pulled back. This thing snorted back up. It looked like a rodeo when you pull it backwards. And just like got this snarl in his face just a few feet in front of her like this, you know. It's just going, thank you, Lord, for saving me. And so that's why I got this title, Jesus Will Protect You, No Bull. He's going to be there to protect you. The bull comes, but he's going to stop. He's going to stop it. So I just ask you a few questions, and then we're done. What is the storm that's causing you to take your eyes off Jesus today? What's the storm in your life that's causing you to go, whoa? It's really easy to get discouraged and lose faith with the current political climate that we have going on right now. Just to go, well, it's hopeless now. God's not, you know, they can't do anything with this. But I would just encourage you to get close to the wave tamer. Is it wave tamer? Wave bouncer? Yeah, wave tamer. Storm tamer. And be there where he can grab you. Because he's there ready to grab you and to help you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. The word says that Jesus immediately took hold of Peter when he began to doubt. God's always there to rescue, help, guide, counsel. Are you stepping out in faith today and believing God's unbelievable promises? Because that's what they are when you look at them with your own eyes. But when you can look at them with eyes of faith, like Peter did, because I'm sure that when water normally isn't something you can like be like, oh, okay, I'm sure that's going to be pretty solid when it's over. No, he just had his eyes on Jesus. If it's you, God, it doesn't matter. I'm going to walk across it. And guess what? He did. Until he took his eyes off Jesus. What is God calling you to do, and are you exercising your faith in that calling? Even when it hurts a little bit, it'll hurt sometimes. But what about this? Because our eyes don't think that way. I mean, our physical members don't think, how do you do that? You know, when I go to Mexico on a trip for a year, well, what about this? What about that? What about, what are you going to do about this? You know, all these different thoughts come in. Jesus says, doesn't matter. Just walk on that water. And then the other last question I have is, how close are you to Jesus today? And there, you know, I just would give you an invitation, because some of you may not even know Jesus. Being close to Jesus is the most important thing that you can do. Just simply being close to him. Doesn't mean you have to have perfect faith. Your faith might be little. I want big faith. But I know, but I've seen enough to know that little faith, like Jesus said, like a mustard seed, can do great things. So just, Lord, just give me a little bit of faith. Give me enough faith to get myself close enough to you so that when you reach out, or when I fail, you can just immediately, I love how it's just like, it's not like, so Jesus thought about it and watched him, you know, flounder a little bit. He didn't even get a part of it. Just said he started to sink, whoo, Jesus grabbed him. How close are you to Jesus? And I just want to thank you for listening to us, and I want to give that invitation. If there is somebody who wants to get close to Jesus for the first time today, if somebody says, you know what, I'm not close at all to Jesus, I need to get close to him, because he wants to save you, he wants to give you eternal life, his promises are unbelievable. I mean, you know, you're going to live forever. That's awesome, right? Who else can give you that promise? It's true. He rose from the dead. He's going to raise us from the dead too. He made Peter walk on water in the story. It's not a fictitious story. It's true. He did a lot more amazing things. And he does them. We see him every day in Mexico. And if you want to hear more about our story, or afterwards, talk to Joaquin, talk to us, and we'll tell you about some of the awesome things that God is doing and the way that he's working in Mexico. So I want to pray for you. If you're someone who is like, God has touched my heart, I want to pray for you and ask you to come and see me after the service. And if you want to just, you know, pray with us right now, we'll pray. Just ask God to touch your heart and touch our hearts and give us faith. Give us faith. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this story of the Bible, Lord, that teaches us about faith. Because your word is always faithful, God. Your word is true. Your promises are true. Your word says all of your promises, and it's important that we know your promises are yes and amen. As we agree with them, the Holy Spirit in us says yes, Lord. And you say yes. My promises are true. There's not a single lie in your word, Lord. So I thank you for that. The book that we have, the Bible, Lord, and the promises that you're speaking into our lives, the way you lead us into the storms. You lead us in difficult places, but you're always there, Father. You're always there to lift us up and to immediately save us when we need you. Father, this morning I pray for the people who need to be closer to you this morning. Maybe someone for the first time has never been said, I want to be with you, Jesus. I need to get close to you, Lord. I need your promises. I need your life. I need to be forgiven. Pray that you would work in our hearts today, Lord, to draw us close to you. I thank you, Lord, that your promise is that if anybody calls out of your name, Lord, they will be saved. Anyone believes in you, anyone puts their trust and their lives in you, Lord, there's salvation, there's eternal life, and it's just the beginning, Lord, because there's so much more. Thank you, Father, for your faithful word today. Thank you for your work in Joaquin's life. Thank you for your work in David and Colleen's life, Lord, in this church body. I pray that you would continue to pour your blessing over them. Give them strength, Lord, through this story, through the things that they're going through in their lives. Lord, strengthen and encourage their hearts. Give them hope, Jesus, like the word that Joaquin said, faith, hope, and love. It's more of that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank Doug and Rebecca and Joaquin and Luz for coming. And God bless you guys. And Desiree also. Desiree, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Don't confuse me. God bless you as you go with them as well. And, you know, Irondale is a little place, but Irondale Church does not do a little thing because we're at work in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Father, I thank you for this congregation. Help us, Lord, to never see ourselves as small, but help us, Lord, to see ourselves in you. For Father, in you, nothing is impossible. Stepping out on the water is possible. Stepping out to Mexico is possible. Raising our children is possible. Raising our grandchildren is possible. Being kind to an ugly neighbor is possible. Overcoming addiction is possible.
Yes.
Finding all kinds of healing, Lord, in this world as we prepare for the next is possible because of the power and the work of Jesus Christ. Father, I ask your blessings on this congregation. I pray, Lord, that you keep them safe in their coming and their going throughout this week. Guide each of us, Lord, down your path. When it's narrow and it's hard, help us, Lord, to just keep our eyes fixed on you. Not worry about the wind and the waves. Father, for the fellowship time that we're going to have, I pray, Father, for the meal. We thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.